Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Sports Musings, sports thoughts from my brain to yours. I'm Frank Diglio, and I'm going to be doing this podcast every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's only going to be about 10, 15 minutes, and if it's received well, then maybe we'll pick it up. It's mostly going to be about New York sports. That's what the blog is about as well. Today, we're going to talk a lot about the Yankees, because the Yankees are in the news. I'm a Yankees fan. Yankees won last night, 12-11, in a thriller. The game ended with Adrian Beltre up on a full count with the bases loaded in a 12-11 game. And the Yankees ended up to hold on to win. He had a deep fly ball to left field. Brett Gardner caught it right in front of the track. You don't need me to recap the game anyway. It's all over ESPN or whatever site you go to get your sports news. I want to talk a little bit about the Yankees and what they're going to be doing at the trade deadline. Sorry, but that was my keyboard that fell. And right now, the Yankees are looking at, according to MLBTradeRumors.com, they're looking at players like Joaquin Benoit, Brett Anderson, Jose De La Rosa was also linked to them earlier in the week, Josh Willingham. And I think, as a Yankees fan, the Yankees should really consider not going huge at the deadline right here, not making a big splash, trying to maybe get a little band-aid to get a hitter. I prefer a hitter over a pitcher at this point, to be honest, and hope that Pineda comes back. I don't think Tanaka's coming back, even if he avoids Tommy John. I'd be really surprised if he came back and played this year. And Pineda, even if Pineda doesn't come back, the staff isn't terrible. McCarthy isn't bad. If Capuano and McCarthy can each give you a 4-3 ERA, that's not terrible. And then you just need hitters. And to get a guy like Willingham, especially because since Ichiro started to play every day when the Yankees cut Soriano, Ichiro's numbers have not been as good as they were. Remember, early in the year, he was hitting close to 400 for a while. And then, you know, hitting like 350 through the first month. Now Ichiro's average is down to 269. You know, he's a 320 OBP. He's not someone who's meant to play every day anymore. So I think getting another outfielder with power would be great. Also give Ichiro a rest, maybe, you know, if you could DH him a little bit. Carlos Beltran can't really throw, so he has to DH, but, I mean, he's not, I know he's hot a little bit now, but he's not having a very good year, you know. Looking at his splits right now, 236, 292 OBP, 428 slugging. Although, oddly enough, 428 slugging, I think, is the third highest on the team behind Brett Gardner and Mark Teixeira. But anyway, so yeah, the Yankees need another corner outfielder, that, you know, and then over the offseason, the Yankees have a lot of catching prospects. They have a lot of young pitching prospects who some teams aren't sure how they'll turn out, but the catching prospects are good. And you got McCann locked up for 4 more years after this, so now's the time to deal those catching prospects. And, you know, they make a run at Troy Tulowitzki. You know, Derek Jeter retiring isn't like Rivera retiring in that, you know, you have a setup man and a closer, so you have a logical replacement for the closer in the setup man. There is no logical Jeter replacement. Brendan Ryan could be the starting shortstop next year. I think there's actually a good chance that happens. But I think everyone's been talking about it. He was at the Yankee game this past weekend when he was in Philadelphia to see a doctor. He always said he loves Derek Jeter. He's kind of hinted he wants to play for the Yankees. I think it's something the Yankees should make a run at, although from what I've read, Colorado doesn't want to trade him, the Rockies ownership loves him, and they wouldn't even consider it unless he specifically told them he wants to be traded. So that has to happen. Who knows if he's actually willing to take that extra step, because then if it doesn't happen, he might become a pariah in Colorado. He doesn't want that. He could be there for a long time after. And that's really what looking at for the Yankees, but I do with Tulowitzki. But I do think that's what they should do. That they should wait, try to do a band-aid deal. Josh Willingham wouldn't be a terrible player to go for right now, and do that. I know everyone's saying, well, the Yankees should go for broke. It's Derek Jeter's last year. They deserve to send them off with the World Series ring. Well, that'd be nice, but I mean the Yankees. The reason why you just band-aid now is because the Yankees are really far away from being like the Oakland A's, who should be the favorites to win the World Series this year at 66-40. The Yankees are 55-51, and their Pythagorean win-loss is 50-56. And the way that works is that goes off a Pythagorean win-loss or expected win-loss goes off your run differential. And the Yankees' run differential this year is minus 25, or minus 29, I'm sorry. And that's not good. Like, the way it works is, especially in baseball, baseball's the best sport to use run differential, or another sport's point differential, because there's so many games. So over the course of 162 games, even 100, you're going to have a good idea of how good a team is based on their run differential. You know, are they giving up more runs or scoring more runs? The Yankees this year are 55 and 51. By the way, they did this last year. They won 85 games with a negative run differential. Cashman actually addressed it after the season, saying we were an 85-win team who looked more like a 78-win team. And this right now, the Yankees are a 55-win team that looks like a 50-win team. So they're 5 games better than they should be, with a negative 29 run differential. To put in perspective, the Mets have a plus 5 run differential, and they're actually 51 and 56, almost the reverse of what the Yankees should be. But the Yankees are, you know, this is the second consecutive year. They're getting a little bit lucky where they're... It's not that their record in one-run games are particularly good, because they're not. They're 16 and 13, and typically, you know, if you're around 500, you're winning one-run games most of the time is luck if over the course of a season. So the Yankees aren't exceptionally good at one-run games, but they're very good in interleague play. They were 13 and 7, which is the sole reason why they're over 500. They're a sub-500 team when they play against the American League, and they're a sub-500 team in the American League East. They're only 19 and 22. So the Yankees, they got to look at it. If they can sneak into the last wild card spot, where they're only a game out in the loss column behind Toronto, and they are only 5 games out in the loss column behind Baltimore, so that's not loss. But if you get another hitter, the American League East isn't great. Baltimore is 13 games over 500, which I don't even think the Yankees have ever been 13 games over 500 at all this year. But if Baltimore can come back a little bit, and it's not going to be because of the Yankees, because Baltimore is 6-3 against the Yankees, so the Yankees are going to need other teams to beat Baltimore. But if Baltimore come back a little bit, the Yankees can win a division, maybe, because it's not a great division, and they still have a chance in the wild card because of that second wild card. Remember, if this was 2 years ago, the Yankees would have no shot at the wild card. It'd just be division or nothing, because the Angels are 9 games ahead of the Yankees in the loss column, and they're in first place for the very first wild card spot. But the that's really what it comes down to. They're kind of a lucky team, like I said. So you get a hitter, and you hope that this hitter can, like Willingham or someone like him, can get hot. Maybe he has a hot August. He hits like 6 home runs in like 2 weeks or something like that. Wins you a bunch of games that you otherwise wouldn't have won, and then you get into the playoffs because of that. And then you take your chance. I'm not saying the Yankees can't win the World Series. You get into the playoffs. I think baseball has proven this more than any other sport. I don't care what football wants to say. In baseball, you get into the playoffs, you have a legitimate chance of winning the World Series. The St. Louis Cardinals won 83 games and won the World Series in 2006. The Mets were a much better team than them. Not only that, and this is going to sound like a cocky Yankees fan, the Yankees were the best team in baseball every single year about from 2001 until 2006. And they won one World Series. And they were the best team in baseball every season. Except for maybe... they were just about the best team in the American League every season of those years. Or right up there. And they almost... They, like, barely got out of the first round. I think twice they got out of the first round in that span. Because in a 5-game series, it's a crapshoot. Anyone can win a 5-game series. If a hitter gets hot and hits hits like 500 over 4 or 5 games. And, you know, he's a power hitter, so he hits like 3 or 4 home runs. That's it. That changes the whole series. If you beat another team's ace, even if it's by luck, if the other team makes an error, that changes the whole series. So all the Yankees have to do is get into the playoffs. And I think doing a Band-Aid trade, saving their major prospects for a run at Troy Tulowitzki. Let's say they can't get Tulowitzki. Let's say the Mets get Tulowitzki because they have the better offer, and they do. Syndergaard is a bona fide top-flight prospect. Or if the Colorado Rockies just decide not to trade Tulowitzki. The Yankees can also take their prospects. They can go after a guy like David Price, who has a proven American League track record, American League East track record. I know he had a bad start today, Wednesday, July 30th, but that's... Everyone has bad starts. And... or maybe they could trade their prospects for another hitter. They can go after John Lester, which would be kind of funny. It'd be another Red Sox that the Yankees just steal after taking Ellsbury and Damon before them. And for the record, I was against the Ellsbury signing. I still kind of am. I don't think he's that much better than Gardner. And I don't think over the 7 years he's going to be that much better than Gardner. And Gardner's significantly cheaper, about $100 million cheaper over the life of the contract. But, I mean, he is playing well. It'd be difficult to speak so too poorly of the contract, because without him, who knows what the Yankees would be. They wouldn't be in the playoff race. His base running, he as well say he's a much better base stealer than Brett Gardner. But anyway, so the Yankees have a lot of options, but I say the most important thing is keep their big prospects until after this season and look at the offseason and see what's out there. The Dodgers might be looking to trade Kemp. I wouldn't trade big prospects for Kemp, but I would maybe trade a little bit higher than other teams if the Dodgers traded. I mean, if the Dodgers ate about 35 of the remaining 105, I think what it'll end up being over the last 5 seasons. So if they can eat 7 a year, so the Yankees would pay Kemp 14 a year for 5 seasons. I think that allows the Yankees to have a manageable contract. Kemp still is very talented. And what allowed them to do is it allowed them to trade him if they need to. They want to, like, if it just is not working out or whatever. Because $14 million isn't a ton of money, especially when you consider if he even has a little bit of power. No teams have power right now. You know, this isn't like 10 years ago where every team had like 3 or 4 30 home run hitters, and hitting a home run was the easiest thing. Not a lot of teams have a lot of power, so Kemp could still be a hot commodity. But if he doesn't turn it around this season, maybe the Yankees can come in, buy a little bit lower than you think, and get the Dodgers to eat some of that contract. Because at this point, the Dodgers probably have as much, if not a little bit more money than the Yankees, or at least what they're willing to spend. So that's something the Yankees need to look at, too. But to recap the situation, the Yankees are kind of a lucky team. They're right in the thick of things when it comes to the wild card, and still in the division, even though 5 games isn't ideal. I feel like anything above 4 is a little bit too high to comfortably say, oh, we have a good shot at winning this division. I think if you're within 4, you could theoretically sweep them in a 4-game series, and bam, you got it. But five games is almost like, it's almost like being down 5, where in a one swing of a bat, you can tie a 4-run game. You can't do it with a 5-run game. It psychologically feels a little bit farther than 4, as opposed to like even 3 to 4, it doesn't feel as bad as 4 to 5. But so the Yankees need to look at that, and the Yankees are interested in Joaquin Benoit also, apparently. And I mean, the Yankees bullpen's really good. I know last night they weren't very good, but that's not the area that I would be looking to upgrade. Unless Benoit was coming on a super cheap deal, then you do it, because he's really good. But it's not something that I would, jump out of my seat to do if I were them. But, maybe they know something we don't. Maybe someone is injured, or maybe the Yankees have a lot of internal numbers or they use a lot of advanced statistics that I'm not privy to, or most of the public isn't. So we'll see. Maybe, like I said, maybe they know something we don't. But that's going to be it for today for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Like I said, I'll be back on Friday. And if you have any thoughts, comments, criticisms about it, you can email me at mysportsmusings@gmail.com. That's all one word, mysportsmusings@gmail.com. And the name of the website is mysportsmusings@blogspot.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys in a couple of days.